want to go to the second psalm tonight. The second psalm. Hallelujah. You know, the book of Psalms is the song book of the Old Testament. Just like we have Sing Unto the Lord here that we sing out of sometimes. When the Jewish people went to church, they sang out of the book of Psalms. So all of these psalms were songs. And Psalm 119 was one more long song. Like 183 verses were. You talk about a long song, and you'd be there a while singing that one. Amen. But the book of Psalms, it's a book of songs. It's written by various authors. David wrote about half of them. And the psalm that we're going to read tonight, we don't know for sure who wrote it. And that really doesn't matter. Amen. What really matters is what it says. And it made its way into the Word of God. And it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Amen. I want to try to answer a question tonight. Why do the heathen rage? Amen. And why do the people imagine a vain thing? Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Man knows by instinct and by reason that there is a God. In order for a person to get to a place where they say there is no God, some things have to transpire in their life. The most basic culture and the most basic people that live in the most basic way worship some deity and acknowledge some God. And I find it interesting that the people that do not believe in God still hate God. Why would you hate something that does not exist? Why would you fight and strive so harshly and violently against if it doesn't exist? Why would you take all of the time and the energy and the effort to assail something that you say doesn't exist? And yet they do. Why are atheists full of bitterness and anger and hatred and even violence against the church? Did you know that some atheists have been having unbaptizing services? How do you have an unbaptizing service? They get together and they run hair dryers over one another. I'm serious as I can be up here tonight. They're having unbaptizing services, and for somebody they say doesn't even exist. What's all the hassle? What's all the strife? What's it all about if nobody exists? Just get on with your life. But they don't do that, do they? The heathen rage against God. And they want to pull down the one they say isn't there. And they spend their money and they spend their time and they exert their energy trying to strive against the people of God that do believe in God. Hell, if I believe in God and He's not there, just leave me alone. I'm not going to hurt anybody. believing in something that doesn't exist, according to them. But the Bible says that they rage against God. Why would they do that? He said, and why do the people imagine a vain thing? That word imagine means that these people get together and they make plans and they have discussions and they try to put together some kind of a program that'll get rid of the God they don't believe exists. In other words, in the name of diversity, they're saying, I don't believe in God and neither can you. Where, I mean, diversity means you got to believe what I believe in their book. You can't teach Christianity in school because they want diversity in school. But if you can't teach Christianity in school and yet you can teach atheism and you can teach evolution, then where's the equality and where's the diversion? And where's the diversity? If you only teach one side of a subject, where's the diversity? It's a very selective diversity. In other words, I teach you what I want to believe, and you can't believe anything else. But you can't tell me what you believe because we believe in diversity. And that warped or what? Amen. But you see, whenever you're full of hatred and full of violence and full of anger, as people are against God, you know, you don't see neutral atheists. They're not just neutral. They rage. You know, we had it back in December, didn't we? Why would somebody all the way up in Wisconsin care what we've got on the lawn at the courthouse in Athens, Texas? What difference does it make? I mean, we had Santa Claus on one corner and snowmen and elves and reindeer and all the rest of it. What difference did it make if we had Jesus on one corner? Why do they rage? Why do they rage against God and imagine a vain thing? I find this very interesting. They imagine a vain thing. They organize against God. And the Bible says God calls it vain because all of their raging is going to come to nothing. I remember a couple of dogs we had. And I'm not calling anybody a dog, don't get me wrong. We used to have this great old big German Shepherd dog. And we had this little miniature poodle that had, well, he had all four legs, but one was broken, had a pin in it. So it was like this. And he hopped around on three legs. But she had an attitude about big as Texas. And she got a little clumsy and she'd run into the big dog. And she'd get so mad. And she'd snarl and bark and snap and bite. And that old big dog would just grab his big old foot and he'd just press her down to the ground. And she'd snarl and bite and get so mad. And he'd just hold her down there and just go. And finally, when the little poodle would give up and calm down, he'd just lift his heavy foot and let her go. That's the way I see God and the heathen that rage against God. They get all disturbed and upset and we're going to bring God down, that one that doesn't exist. We're going to destroy the God that doesn't exist. We're going to spend all this energy and time and effort fighting against God that doesn't exist. And God just laughs, holds things back up. Hey, this is a vain thing. You're not bringing me down. Amen. Amen. I like the way the Bible said it. It said, how can that which is created say to the Creator, why have you made me thus? Have you ever been to a pottery shop where they made pottery or blue glass objects or whatever? In doing that, have you ever been going along and all of a sudden on the shelf they started whispering to one another, glass started whispering to one another and saying, I don't like the way he made my ears. He should have made me a different color than the color I am. And no, they don't do that. Amen. And we don't really get any say-so in how God made us. He made you who you are. And He made you who He wanted you to be. Amen. His gift to you is life. Your gift to Him is what you do with your life. What you make of your life. Why do the heathen rage against God? You know, in North American culture, we never saw it like this until pretty much the last 40 years. Amen. I remember really back in the 50s, we called them beatniks. Anybody remember beatniks? We had the beatniks, you know, the beatniks, you know, they always played the bongos. And they had their little goatees. And they're, you know, cool little glasses. And then, you know, then they were just kind of out of it. A little bongo. Amen. Beatniks. That's why they call them beatniks, I guess. Always beating on stuff. But then the beatniks influenced, we call that group the hippies. Everybody remember the hippies? Yeah, you remember some of them. Even young people remember some of them. Amen. And so the hippies came along. And what was interesting about the hippies is they rejected everything that their fathers and their mothers believed in. And they said, well, they raged. I remember how they raged. College campuses, they burned things and they tried to break into the offices where all the records were, and they shut down classes and they marched and they rebelled and they had sit-ins and sit-outs and all kinds of stuff. And they caused disruption everywhere they went. They were just going to overthrow everything, and they were going to make it so much better than their fathers did. They said that the media and the press, they're dishonest. They don't tell the whole story. They just tell it one way. And they said they're so materialistic, and so we're not going to be materialistic. We're going to cast off materialism, and we're going to wear tie-dyed shirts and bell-bottom blue jeans and live in tents and Volkswagen vans and travel around the country and just have love-ins and everything's going to be groovy. Amen. And they smoked their stuff and their LSD and all that went on. And you know what happened to the hippies? By the 1980s, they became the yuppies. And the hippies that said, we just want tents and Volkswagen vans, said, oh no, now we want mansions. And we want Rolls Royces and Mercedes Benz and BMWs and Rolexes and all the rest of it. We want more than anybody's ever had before. Amen. We don't care how we get it. We don't have the integrity and the honesty that our forefathers had, because we cast off God and we cast off the Bible and we cast off all of those things. None of that matters. It's all about me. What I want. It doesn't matter who I hurt. It doesn't matter who I step on. It doesn't matter what I do, because it's all about me. And the heathen raged. And you know what happened? They got in office and became politicians. Haven't they done a good job? We spent more money in 3.5 years than we did 239 years of the foundation of this country. We're raging. Four years ago, I'm not going to call names, but the wolf that was in charge of the hen house said, we're in great shape. Everything's going good. And a few months later, all the banks started going broke. And the auto companies went broke. And they said, We got to stop all this. And the heathen raised. Amen. Amen. The same ones that, oh my. Just the heathen raised. Amen. They're so against Christianity. They became professors in our universities. We were in Midland a few years ago, and one of the professors in Texas Tech University, they had to reel him in, and they had to discipline him, because he said, "I will not pass anybody from my class that does not believe in evolution." And they said, "You can't do that. They can pass your test, but they don't have to believe what you teach." Oh, but the heathen rage. The heathen rage. If you don't believe what they believe, and if you don't follow what they believe, then they're going to try to squash you like a bug. You know what's very interesting? I read a week or so ago, and I saw a clip on the computer of this professor. I mean, she has an education. She don't have any sense, but she's got an education. She's smart. But you know what she said? She said, if you don't believe in man-made global warming, you may believe in global warming, but man didn't do it, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. If it gets hot, it gets hot. Anybody ever changed the weather yet? I mean, you get mad at the weatherman all you want to, but he can't change it, and neither can you. There's only one that can control that, and he does it at his will. And so, but she said, anybody that doesn't believe what I believe, they said, you should be declared, it should be declared a mental condition. Isn't that interesting? We're living in an interesting generation, folks. And another one said, we need to put all the people in big cities so that all the animals can have the rest. Isn't that a great idea? They believe in overcrowding. Everything's overcrowded. Well, if it is, you're welcome to exit any time. But they don't want to exit. They want to make somebody else exit. The heathen rage. The heathen rage. Amen. They're so angry at God, even though they don't believe He exists. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21. Let me start in verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, that is God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Amen. It's not hard to figure out there's a Creator out there, because there's a creation. And there's never been a creation without a Creator. Man, I read about a guy that was a Christian, and his friend was an agnostic, and they were both astronomers, and he had built this elaborate system, and you could turn a handle, and the planets would revolve around the sun, and all of that is very intricate, very specialized, and very perfect. And the guy came in and said, "That's awesome." He said, "Who made that?" He said, "Well, nobody. It just happened." He said, "One day there was a big boom hitting here, and I walked in, and there it was." And his friend didn't believe it. Now, he wanted us to believe that on a much bigger scale, that all of this just happened by a big bang. The Bible said that creation itself, this body that you live in is so intricate. So intricate. Amen. So amazing how resilient it can be, and yet how fragile it can be. It's astounding
And yet,
we're just supposed to believe that. But the Bible said that without excuse, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament declareth His handiworks. Amen. Who hasn't looked up into the heavens and the star-studded sky and stood in awe and amazement? Who hasn't watched the glory of a golden sunset and been amazed? Who hasn't driven across and seen rugged mountains pointing to the Creator with their finger saying, "There's one God," and pointing to Him, "He's the one, He's the one, He's the one"? Who hasn't seen the beauty of the sea and the roaring of the tide and all of the things that God made? Did you just go into to a pet shop sometime or Walmart and walk down where the little fishies are? And look at all those little guys. Some of them, they got iridescent paint on the side. And God just said, "Let me put a little streak on this one here." Amen. Awesome. Beautiful. More beautiful than any man could ever imagine to make. We've been all these years and all of the billions of dollars we've spent trying to fashion life, and we've never been able to create even the simplest cell. Some years ago, the newspapers and the magazines and the headlines declared man has created life in a test tube. No, he didn't. Misnomer. Man took life that God made, put it in a test tube, and put a sperm and a cell together and hatched an egg and said, "We've created life." No, you didn't create life. You just substituted a glass tube for a womb. Nothing's created. God made life. We've never made life. We never will make life. Amen. And so they even rage. They rage against God. Even the Bible said that, but he they're without excuse, verse 21. Because that when they, everybody say, they knew God. Say it again, they knew God. Say it again, they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Everybody say thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They knew God, but they refused to worship Him as God, and they were unthankful. Unthankful. Amen. Professing themselves to be wise. Everybody say themselves. They're smart. Just ask them. They're wise. Just ask them. We're the foolish ones. Is that right? We're the ignorant and unlearned. They're the wise. They'll be the first to tell you that. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. I've always found that to be such an interesting verse. Isn't it amazing that a human being can carve a piece of stone or a precious gem or a jewel, and they can make it into an image of something that is already created and already made, and they can say, "Oh, this is God. I made God." Well, if you made God, He's the creature and you're the creator. And the creature is always subject to the creator, and the creator is always greater than the creature. So that what you made is not God, that makes you God. Or at least the creator of what you made, and it should call you God. You decide what to do with it. Is that right? You can either destroy it, or you can set it up somewhere and worship it. You can make a temple to it. You can make up a religion for it. But it's still not a God. Why do the heathen rage? Because God is God, and there's nothing they can do about it. There's nothing they can do about it. Amen. The Bible said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So what's one of the first things they do out of rebellion? They do unseemly things. Now when I say these things I'm going to say tonight, don't take them the wrong way. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not trying to put anybody on display here tonight. I just want to explain what happens when you do away with God. Amen. People get into situations that are not good and holy and righteous. Amen. And we're living right now in a generation, and our young people, we need to help you take a stand, and you need to listen to us. Amen. Because you're going to be taught in your classrooms, and you're going to be made fun of by your contemporaries and your friends, and people are going to call you names, but you still take a stand for what's right. Amen. God did not create Adam and Steve. God created Adam and Eve. Amen. If God had wanted men to be together with men, He would have made two men. But God did not. He made a man and He made a woman. God did not create two women. He created a man and a woman. And to this day, only a man and a woman can create a child. Women cannot create children. Men cannot create children. It takes a man and it takes a woman. And don't you let anybody tell you that it's all right. It's just an alternate lifestyle. It's okay for you to be that way, that you were born that way, that you were made that way. No, you were not. Call it what you want, but homosexuality and lesbianism is still a sin. We don't hate people. If you hate anybody in that lifestyle, you need to repent because you're wrong. If you hate anybody, it's wrong. Amen. You can hate the sin, but you need to love people. You won't win people by calling them names. You won't win people by loving. Can people that are homosexual be saved? Yes. Can they change their lifestyle? Yes. Can they have families? Yes. There are many of them that have come out of that lifestyle, repented of their sin, and been saved, and are serving God today. So we don't hate people. Christians should never hate anybody. Don't you believe God's big enough to do that? Let me ask that again. Don't you believe God is big enough to do that? Yes, He is. Amen. God forgives that sin just like He does any other sin. It's just a sin. Amen. Praise God. And I hope the church is big enough to accept that. I've been in some congregations that were not. Real quiet in here, but anyway, you're just preaching the truth, Brother Grissom. Thank you. Amen. Then the Bible says they changed, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Men changed truth into a lie. And the Bible says, and they served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So people then began to worship the creature. They began to worship themselves. Does that happen to people? It does. If you love another human being more than you love God, you're an idolater. Hear me, young people. It's okay to have a boyfriend if you're a girl. It's okay to have a girlfriend if you're a boy. But if you love that person more than you love God, then you're an idolater and you're in trouble and you're headed the wrong way. There's a lot of young people that didn't listen when pastors and parents tried to lead them the right way and said, "Oh, but I just love him so much. I just love her so much." And then they went a little bit further down the road and they shipwrecked their lives because they wouldn't listen. God must always be first. You cannot have a successful marriage without God at the center. I'm not saying that you can't be married, but there'll always be strife if God's not at the center. There'll always be struggle. There'll always be jealousies. There'll always be misunderstandings. You'll come to revival services and you'll go home so full of the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, and there the other one's going to be sitting in the chair watching TV, smoking their cigarettes and drinking their booze. And hello. And you're going to come in so full of the Holy Ghost in that environment. Now you can go and live for God. You can make it to heaven. Yes, you can. Amen. God's going to give you grace. God's going to help you. But you're going to struggle. But if you'll find a young man and a young woman that stays in the altar and prays in the altar and worships and loves God and says amen and runs the aisles and listens to the pastor and serves God in every capacity that they possibly can, and you get in there with your whole heart, and both of you are on fire for God, living for God, and stay that way, you'll come to revival and you'll shout together and you'll worship together and you'll go home together and you'll have a great time when you get home together, and you'll worship in your home and you'll pray in your home and you'll raise up children and they'll love God and they'll worship God and they'll serve God and you'll have a happy family. Amen. Brother, you sure are preaching good tonight. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm just trying to help somebody here tonight. Amen. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Worship the creature more than the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Amen. And so what we're saying here is, it's a sign of rebellion. When you see a culture that erodes to the point that our culture has eroded to, and where there are laws being made today saying that a particular sexual couple is given rights as if they are a race, it's wrong. It's twisted. It's illogical. But it's also born out of rebellion. Amen. Because the Bible said they rage against God. They rage against God. Even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to those things which are not convenient. And this is what happens to people eventually. Whenever they get to some point in rebellion, they just don't want to think about God at all. I read some years ago that in, I believe it was Sweden, I'm not sure, it was one of the European nations, they even quit using God's name in vain because they didn't want to mention God at all. So they just didn't want any mention of God whatsoever. Amen. And when you look at what happens to a society, it will not survive very long. I know it seems like 100 years is a long time, but it's not a long time. But I can guarantee you, if God tarries very much longer, many of these nations that have forsaken God, they're going to fall, they're going to be overthrown. Many countries in Europe right now are being threatened by Islam. And they're just about to lose their identity. You know why? Because they have a zero growth rate. They don't get married and they don't produce children. They just find a mate and they mate and they live together and they enjoy their life together. They don't want children messing up their lifestyle, and so they don't have any children. How long can a nation exist like that? Until it becomes extinct. One generation and it's gone. You see what happens when they rage against God? And then God sends another aggressive culture into that culture and they receive them in because they need warm bodies. They need people to work in their country. They need people to serve their needs. So they bring in outsiders, and all of a sudden their cultures change and their nations change, and in one generation that nation ceased to exist. They rage against God. Isn't that interesting? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. That doesn't sound like a very pretty picture. Who, knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know what's interesting? Is that vile things becomes entertainment to us. And people sit in their living rooms and watch on televisions things that are vile to God. People go to movie houses and watch movies about things that are vile to God. People sit in front of their computers and watch things that are vile to God. Amen. Is this all right, folks? Am I still in the book? Am I still preaching the truth? Amen. I haven't strayed from the way, have I? Amen. Praise God. I'm just letting us know, folks, that it's still, we still need to serve God. We still need to love God. We still need to worship God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Now let me go back to some, and I'm going to wrap it up. Amen. I've only been preaching, what, 15 minutes? 15 minutes, something like that. Amen. I'm going to quit here in just a minute, I promise, sir. Another hour or two, we'll be done. Amen. The Bible said the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords away from us. Here's why the heathen rage. They don't like what you stand for, because they say, don't you judge me, and you judge them without opening your mouth. You don't have to say anything. Every time they see your godliness, every time they see your purity, every time they see your righteousness, every time they see your beautiful family, every time they hear your worship, every time they hear your prayer, every time they hear your praise, it strikes them right in the heart. You don't have to say anything. I grew up in a home, my mama didn't preach to me when I wasn't living for God. She didn't preach to me. I mean, it was an unwritten law that I was going to church. I've heard people make that excuse. They say, well, I don't go to church now because my mom made me when I was a kid. Well, my mom made me go, and I'm still going. I'm glad she did. That wasn't any choice. That wasn't any discussion about it. It wasn't, are we going to church tonight? When it got to be about 5 o'clock, supper was on the table, and as soon as supper was over, you got in there and washed behind your ears and put on your church clothes and headed to church. Amen. And you stayed there till church was over. Amen. However late that was. And then you got up the next morning and you went to school. Amen. And it was good for us. Praise the Lord. My mom didn't preach to me when I wasn't saved, but she did pray for me. And I know a little bit about that praying business, because I was in the room and I'd hear her praying. And I'm telling you what, I'd get a pillow and put it over my head and it wouldn't keep prayers out. I'd stuff things in my ears and it wouldn't keep prayer out. I could still hear it praying. I could still feel conviction. Amen. But you know what? Because I had a love for God in my heart, because she took me to church and Sunday school, and my wonderful Sunday school taught me that Jesus loved me, I didn't dare say anything against that. I'd try to cover it up, but in my heart I was saying, oh God, don't ever let her stop praying. Don't ever let her stop praying for me. Don't let me be lost. I don't want to go to hell. Amen. I wasn't praying prayers of repentance at that point, but I was praying. I prayed nearly every day, God, don't let me die today. Whatever I was doing, if it was wrong, I'd pray, God, don't let me die while I'm doing this. I'm going to do it, but don't let me die doing it, because I don't want to go to hell. I was a miserable sinner. I didn't enjoy sin at all. I was trying. The sin was pleasurable enough, but my conscience wouldn't let me enjoy anything. And I'm so glad that it did. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so the Bible said that they say, let's break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. Let's cut ourselves loose from God. Let's get rid of all of these standards, all of these ideas about God and right and wrong, and let's just make up our own minds what's right and wrong. And I could go into that, and I don't have time, and I'm not going to, but there's some weird stuff out there that they justify as right and wrong. Praise God. Praise God. There are men that are in, sit on judges' benches, work on police forces, in political offices, that are doing things that they arrest other people for doing every day. But there's a God that's keeping a record. There's a God that's writing it down. There's a God that's got a book in the heavens. Amen. And don't anybody think you're going to get away, because it's all in His record. And if we don't get it under the blood, we're going to face it someday. Amen. And so the Bible said that we want to break the bands. I love this part. It said, and He that sits in the heavens. What's God doing? Is He all nervous about this? Is He all concerned and upset? Thinking, oh, is he? No, the Bible said that, first of all, it said He just laughed. It's a last of derision. Ha! You little weenie. You wimp. You think you're going to overthrow me? Brother Bacon, he's not worrying. He's like my big German shepherd with the little poodle saying, have you had enough? Rage on. When you settle down, I'll let you go. God's not worried, folks. He's already got it lined out all the way to the end. Amen. He goes on to talk about His anointed, talking about the Messiah when He comes, and how that they hate the Messiah. And didn't they try to prevent it? Herod tried to have Him slain when He was a baby. And God just said, all right, send him on down to Egypt till Herod dies and we'll bring him back. They tried to stone him when He taught them truth. And He just walked right through their midst and nobody could throw a rock till He got out of the way. When they came to meet Him in the garden, they said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I am He. And they hit the ground like they were dead men, just at the sound of His voice. Nobody's going to stop God. Amen. He's still in control, folks. Amen. Guess what? This church is still marching on. Amen. Do you know where the largest church in the world is? It's in China. And nobody but God knows how big it is. Because they can't have service like this. And so they have it in homes. But it's estimated that there are multiplied millions of apostolic believers. We don't know how many. We have no idea. Because they can't come out and worship like this. But they worship. And they pray. And they get the Holy Ghost. And they win souls. You can't stop God's church. You're not going to stop God's church. I don't know what's going to happen. Canada's already passed some goofy laws about what they can preach and can't preach. They may pass the same laws here. We may have to have jail service and y'all come see me. I may not can get to you. You may have to come to me so we can have church. Amen. But that'd be all right, wouldn't it? We'd still have church. We'd still have church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because they hate this. They hate this. But they can't stop it. They cannot stop it. Because God is in control. Amen. Let me hurry on down here a little bit, and I'm going to finish here in just a second. Amen. The Scripture, it gives some counsel here as it goes down a little bit further. Verse number 6 said, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion." God said, I put my king, Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I've set him on high. I put him on the throne. And when God puts somebody on the throne, they stay there until He takes them off the throne. Amen. And so He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. This is exactly what we're trying to do, folks. We're trying to win the world for Jesus Christ. I said, we are trying to win the world for Jesus Christ. That's why we support missions. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we preach the gospel in every country that we can get into. Because we're trying to win the world for Jesus. And guess what? We're doing better than we've ever done. Not good enough. Not what we want to see. Definitely we want more. But we're busy and doing all we can. And God is rewarding our efforts. More people receiving the Holy Ghost today than at any time in history. More people being baptized in Jesus' name today than at any time in history. More miracles and signs and wonders being done today than at any time in history. I know we look back at the early church and see, oh, what God did back then. But if you just knew what God is doing now. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe God's getting ready to do more right here. Hallelujah. He's confirmed some things. Yes, we're having a battle. Brother Neil shouldn't be going through what he's going through. Brother Morris shouldn't be going through what he's going through. But the devil's all stirred up. But you hear me tonight. We need to dig in our feet. We need to set our face like a flint toward heaven. We need to stir up our faith. We need to stir up authority in the name of Jesus Christ and win the victory. And when we get through, you talk about a testimony. You talk about a witness. You talk about a power. You stand steadfast and the devil can't help but lose. He's making a last effort here tonight. God's going to turn it all around. I said, God is going to turn it all around. He has never lost the battle. God made us some promises, but we need to stand on them. And don't you move from it. Amen. Sister Washington, God made you some promises. He showed you some things through the years. Don't you give up on that. Don't you let that fade from your vision. Amen. Praise God. some of you elders in this church tonight, God has revealed some things and spoken things, and God meant what He said. Amen. Don't you get your eyes off of what God said. Don't you drown out the voice of God, what He told you. You hold on to that. Amen. We can get our eyes on a lot of stuff, and if we're not careful, we'll let other things drown out His voice. We'll get our eyes off of the promise. But you keep your eye on the prize, and you keep your ear open to the promise, and you keep your foot on the rock. And God is going to do what He said He's going to do. Amen. Isn't that what we're asking for? Isn't that what we're asking for? You know what I want to see? I want to see the kind of revival that's a genuine Acts kind of revival. Amen. I've never been much of a believer in sharing any glory with flesh. Amen. We got a bunch of young preachers around here, and I'm excited about it. I wish I could have been here Friday night to hear you guys. Amen. I would have been, but I had to be with Brother Neil and didn't get back. But next time we'll do it together. And now what I'm hearing now is the girls are waiting for their turn. You know what? That's all right. Amen. But I don't believe in woman preachers. Stop. Amen. You didn't call them. Praise the Lord. I said you didn't call them. If God calls you, you're called. Like it or not, you're called. Amen. And we're just going to have to try to find a place for you somewhere. Did you know we had women pastors? And I know people have different ideas. You're fine to have your idea. Have it all you want to. But I know precious women that went into the jungles of Colombia in places that if a man would have gone there, they would have killed him outright. But they wouldn't touch a woman. We had one precious lady went into a remote area of Colombia, and she was having such revival that not the women of the light, but the women of the night got so upset. They were going to the thugs and like the mafia that controlled the city, the drug lords, and they were complaining. They were saying, there's so many getting the Holy Ghost here that our services are no longer required. That's okay, isn't it? Amen. Is it all right if God uses a woman to do that? Amen. Just saying. Amen. That's what they say now. Just saying. I'm getting cool in old age. Just saying. I'm talking about revival tonight. One of the toughest places to preach used to be down in South Texas, in the valley. When I went down there, they said, that's a preacher's graveyard. Amen. Well, I didn't see any preachers buried down there, but that's what they told me. Amen. But I know a precious little lady by the name of Carrie Eastridge. And she went to a little town called Raymondville, Texas. Amen. And started pastoring a church. And she got it going. They were having revival. And they got so big that they said, Sister Carrie, we need a man to take over now. And she didn't get mad and upset and bitter. She just said, okay. And she went somewhere else and started preaching. And a man came in until the church went down to nothing. And they called Sister Carrie back in. And she built it back up again. Amen. Praise God. Till the Lord called her somewhere else. For a mission, said, do you have a call to missions? She said, yes. Said, well, tell us about it. She said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Amen. If you ever heard of Sister Nona Freeman, that was her daughter. Praise the Lord. You talk about a soul winner. You talk about modern day apostles, Bug and Nona Freeman. Amen. Apostles to Africa. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What am I talking about here tonight? I'm talking about God starting a revival. Yeah. morning. Right back there on the back, on the right side, there was a beautiful little lady there with her children. And you know why she came here this morning? Because she saw the Lord and heard God in the testimony of Marky Vasquez and Brother Kevin Brown. And she was impressed by what she saw in their lives. And she said, I want to go to your church. And she was here this morning. Amen. I'm talking about God getting ready to send a revival. Amen. I'm all stirred up here tonight. I'm trying to hush. Amen. But I'm excited about what God's getting ready to do. Hallelujah. Amen. And we refer to this, and I'm just going to say it again. Amen. Last night, my daughter got the Canton web page up. Before she could even get it all finished, we had 65 people looking into it. We had 83 before the night was over. I don't know how many today, but I'm just telling you, folks are looking for a place to have church. And that's what's really exciting to me. You know what the number one page is? Sermons. People want to hear preaching. Hallelujah. People are listening to the word of the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Glory.
And another one of the top pages that's very exciting is what to expect when you get to the church. We felt like we needed to give people a little bit of an idea. Amen. So they didn't get blown away when they got here. Amen. So they knew that when they got here, it was going to be Pentecostal.
Yes.
There was going to be some hand clapping. There was going to be some open worship. There's going to be some joy. There's going to be some excitement. Amen. There's going to be the Holy Ghost. There's going to be tongue talking. There's going to be message in tongues interpretation. Amen. There's going to be signs and wonders. Whatever God wants to do.
That's right.
I hope that's okay tonight.
That's right.
Amen. It might get radical around here. And I hope that's all right. Because I'm going to tell you, once God starts, I'm not going to try to stop him.
That's right.
It might get real unorthodox. I don't know. But I just know I want one thing. I want the will of God.
Yes, amen.
However he chooses to do it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I'm just simply saying tonight the heathen are raging. And God's laughing. And the church is on the march and the church is growing. Amen. Hallelujah. We're making progress every day. I've heard people say the church is going down. No, I read the Bible. The church is going up. There might be some organizations hitting the dirt. I don't know. There might be some local congregations have problems. But the church is going up. That's all I read. Amen. Go ahead and let the heathen rage. Amen. But they won't stop God. They won't stop the church. Hallelujah. He's still in control. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Sister Odelia wants to get baptized today. We're excited about that. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Help her just get ready to take the back and show the word the road guard.